Please take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 21. I was thinking when Carmen sang that song, was it Natalie or Julia? One of the kids, I think Natalie, used to say, sing that sweeping song, sing that sweeping song, because it was a sweep over my spirit. I thought that was cute. So that's what I want to share today on, not sweeping, but on peace and the power of peace. So I'd like to look at what true peace is, some reasons peace is important in our lives, and how we can cultivate true peace. True peace can only be found in the one true God, and that's something that you really need to think about. You're really not going to get true peace anywhere else. If you watch the news, fake or real, it's easy to get discouraged or downhearted. In fact, it's almost enough to make you stay inside or bury your head like an ostrich. And I got to go to an immediate sidebar here because I took note of this. Contrary to popular myth, ostriches do not bury their heads in the sand. Now, how many people knew that? Not me. If you did, God bless you. But I didn't. When an ostrich senses danger and cannot run away, it flops on the ground and remains still with its head and neck flat on the ground in front of it. Because the head and neck are lightly colored, they blend into the color of the soil. So there you go. I'm just a wealth of useless knowledge. But there you go. I've imparted some to you today. Now here you go, because this is pretty good. Someone hiding their head in the sand like an ostrich is said to be foolishly ignoring their problem while hoping it will magically go away. You can't bury your head in the sand, figure of speechly or not. Problems don't go away. They're there, man, and they're in front of your face. I wanted to share a little bit about courage today because it takes courage to stand up and do the things that need to be done. And that's something that we all need. But one of the things that builds courage is peace. In Luke chapter 21, in verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. So what is that? That's pretty bad news. But you know what? We don't have to live in that bad news. Perplexity is confusion or uncertainty. And there will be no answers. The world has no answers for what ails it. Why? Because of Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And everybody wants to look at the flesh and blood part of it. It's these guys, it's those guys, it's all these other guys. That's just flesh and blood. It's the spiritual battle that it's really about. In verse 26, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Fear is the word phobos. It's pronounced phobos. One of the meanings for that word is translated terror. That is also fear, but it's also translated terror and something else. I didn't write that down. I'm sorry. But the worst part of terror is not what has been done, but what will happen next. And when you think about that, that's what terror is all about. So a guy, it was the anniversary of the shooting in Las Vegas, where that guy went up into the hotel, and he had all these, like, tons of automatic weapons, and they broke out the window, and they shot all these people at a country western concert. So those people were afraid and they were running around for their lives. But then the next month or year or whatever, maybe they're even still doing it, they talk about, well, is that going to happen again? What's going to happen again? What's going to happen next? And that's what keeps people all wound up. That's the terror part, that living and not knowing what's next. And the news propounds this terror. We only have 12 years left if we don't stop the greenhouse gases. There is no answer to global warming. North Korea tests another nuclear bomb. And on. It just keeps going on and on. The terror builds each and every day of our lives. And people are caught up in that. I thought it was interesting. People were praying when I prayed, and the manifestations. It's let the lower lights be burning. It's not just us. It's other people too. It's all those who don't know, who are lost without hope in the world. They don't know any better. They don't know that God and Christ in them. They don't know the word of God and the peace that they can have in their lives. So as a result of that, they run around like chickens without heads, running all around. Did you ever see a chicken without a head? I did. So when we were in Indiana, they had the chicken thing, and they wind the chicken up, and they stick it down in there, and they cut the head off, and every now and then one would pop out, and it just runs around like crazy. It's like an involuntary action, but it just keeps running around and running around. And that's what most of the people in the world are doing today. Jesus Christ became a rock in a sea of uncertainty. That's what he is. He is the rock. He became that rock, the rock of our salvation. And others need to know that. The stark contrast to this good news is the Bible. You only need to look at the epistles to see the exact opposite of what the boob tube, aka the devil, is spewing out. So you watch TV, you see all that bad news. If you go to the word, it's called what? Good news. And we have that good news. And that should be a comfort to us and a comfort to others. Look at Romans, please. Romans chapter 1. We're not going to go to every single verse here, but you can see it for what it is and then look them up a little later if you'd like. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 7, almost all the epistles start out with grace and peace. There must be some reason for that. Romans 1, verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace and what? Peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only from God our Father, but from our Lord Jesus Christ also. 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 1. We'll read another one. And when you look at these other ones, if you look in the epistles, some of them have mercy in there and that, but the predominance is grace and peace. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3, grace be unto you and what? Peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So it can also be found in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 2, Galatians 1, verse 3, Ephesians 1, verse 2, Philippians 1, verse 2, Colossians 1, verse 2, 1 Thessalonians 1, 1, 2 Thessalonians 1, 2, 1 Timothy 1, 2, 2 Timothy 1, 2, Titus 1, 4, Philemon 1, 3, Peter 1, 2, 2 Peter 1, 2, 2 John 1, 3, and Revelation 1, 4. That's a pretty lot. It's often been said that if God mentions something once in his word, it's really important. Twice it's established. This is mentioned tons of times, as you can see. So you look it up for yourself, you know, and see it. See the grace, see the peace. Notice it always says grace and peace. Grace is the first, and it precedes peace. True peace begins when we accept the unmerited favor of God. That's when it begins. When you accept the unmerited favor of God, that grace of God, you then can find true peace. Accept Jesus Christ as Savior and become a child of God. As you accept Jesus Christ as Lord in your life and accept Jesus Christ as Savior in your life, you get born again and you are immediately infused with peace. The problem is most of us don't look for that peace. Most of us don't understand that peace because for the most part, people don't understand unmerited divine favor. And that's what you have to do. Look, I'll use myself. I don't deserve anything. Or maybe I deserve everything I get. I don't know. No, I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve any grace or any mercy or anything from God. I was a sinner, lost without hope in the world, just like everybody else starts out. But you know what? God loved me even though I had all the warts I had. And he loves you too. And you got to see that. And when you seek out peace from another place other than God, all it's going to bring is unhappiness. That's what it's going to bring. What you focus on will determine the amount of peace that you have in your life. If you're focused on the world, it's going to be rough. If you're focused on your car, if you're focused on your job, if you think, no matter what you think is important, it's not. It's really God that's important. And that God is the cooler, the one that calms you down. You can take it easy. You know, last week I shared about Ruth. Don't go pushing that panic button. You know, it ain't nearly as bad as you think. It's not. Look to God. You're looking all around at all these other things. Maybe not you, but other people are. And man, it's important for us to share with other people that, yeah, there can be some peace. We can get some things done. In Romans chapter 14, please. In Romans 14, you'll see another little verse. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. You have God in Christ in you. That's peace enough. That's peace enough. There's no need to be stressing about all the woes of the world. Look at Romans 14, please. The closer you are to God, the more peace you will have. You need to stay close to God. Jesus Christ, you know, so people whine and moan about going to church, maybe here, maybe other places. People whine and moan about spending time with God. I don't have time. I'm too busy. I'm too this. I'm too that. You know what? That's not the case. Jesus Christ went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. You know what he did there? I don't know, man, but my guess would be he was talking to God. When was the last time you spent 40 minutes talking to God? I'm not throwing a brick there. I'm just saying. You know, when? When was the last time? You know, when was the last time you went to God and spent time with God so that you could cultivate that peace in your life? You know, we don't have to have all this anxiety. It doesn't have to be that way. It just has to be a smooth, easy sailing for us. Look at Galatians. No, you know what? Look at Romans 15. Let's look at Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And how do we manifest that power? We manifest that power by the manifestations of Holy Spirit, of that God in Christ in us. Tongue with interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, gifts of healing. We can manifest that power in our lives. And as we manifest that power, that brings forth the fruit. And peace is a fruit. Look at Galatians 5 and we'll see that. You'll see that you cultivate. And you know what? Think of the farmer analogy. You cultivate the soil. Manifestations cultivate that soil. And then the crop can grow. And what is that crop? Here we have it. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. So where do you want to go? Do you want to go the way of the world or do you want to go the way of the Word? I don't know about you, but I'm sure in favor of going the way of the Word, of being blessed and being happy in my life, not being stressed out. And our God is a God of peace. He's all about peace, and never fear. He sent Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of what?
Peace.
That's right. He sent Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And we need to think about that. We have God in Christ in us. In Isaiah, take a look at Isaiah chapter 9, please. The next little section is all about Jesus Christ being the Prince of Peace. You know, he's living inside of us. We don't have to worry about anything. No kind of fake news. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of what? Peace." He is the Prince of Peace. In Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 6. A little bit more about Jesus Christ. You know, the other night at fellowship, I remember saying, somebody once said, I think it was Sue Cahoon was telling Dolores, but anyway, the point is, not really who said it, but tell me what you think about Jesus Christ and I'll tell you how far you'll go. You know, if you know the Prince of Peace intimately, you're going to go a long way. And it's going to be a lot better of a ride. In Hebrews 6, verse 20, "Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." He was of the order of Melchizedek. You may know that already just from Power for Abundant Living. And it's important that you keep that in mind. In Hebrews chapter 7, flip over a chapter. In verse 2, "To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation the king of righteousness, and after that also," after that is Melchizedek, "the king of Salem," which is the king of peace. Jerusalem, the J-E-R-U, means city of, and Salem, S-A-L-E-M, means peace. Jesus Christ will reign forever from Jerusalem, the city of peace. That's where he's going to reign from. You know, as Nick so well shared in the Word about the introduction to Revelation, I don't know if it was that one or all the others, but he said that Jesus Christ will rule. Where is he going to rule from on earth? From Jerusalem, the city of peace. That should be our goal. To live in that peace each and every day of our lives. Peace is the promise of the Father. In John chapter 14, the Gospel of John. You know, I was thinking back at that movie, the War Room, where that girl's praying and she says, you can't steal my peace. You can't steal my peace. Don't let anyone or anything steal your peace. Now, does that mean you turn your back on the thing that's bothering you or trying to get rid of your peace? No, it doesn't. What it really means is we got to buck up. Maybe take that person's hand. You know, I don't remember if it was last week or some other, I don't know when I said it, but about when Peter walked out of the boat and he saw the storm, and he was walking on the water, and then he started sinking. Did Jesus Christ go, "Oh, dude, I'm sorry. I can't be reaching a hand down to you. You're going to be disturbing my peace. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to drown." No, he didn't say that. He reached down. He grabbed him. He pulled him up. See, if you want to share that peace, you have to be strong in it. You got to be real strong in it. It's important. John 14, 27. "Peace I leave you, and peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The peace of God is abiding, internal, and non-circumstantial. It's easy to get and impossible to lose. Why? It's given to you like a sonship right. You have it. It's living inside of you. Like I said earlier, you have the Prince of Peace living inside of you. The peace of the world, which everybody's looking at these days, maybe not you, but a lot of people, it's fragile, it's elusive and circumstantial, almost impossible to get and easy to lose, and it breeds nothing but stress. My car doesn't run. Some bird dumped on my car. We were driving past the school this morning on the way to here, and there was like 10 billion geese, figure of speech, but there was a lot. There wasn't 10 billion. But there was all these geese hanging out in the baseball field where the kids play. And I'm thinking like, wow, That's a lot of dung, to say the least, you know, out there on the baseball field. And the kids are going to go out there and play in that. You know, so you start thinking, oh, you know, now some parent that doesn't know anything about God, they're driving by and they're thinking, oh, my God, my kid's going to get infections. They can't, the tongue bird do out there, and everything else. Well, let's say a prayer and let a rip tater chip. It's going to be okay. God never designed us to live under stress. One of the top 10 reasons for doctor visits is stress. That's right. One of the top 10 reasons for doctor visits is stress. It's important to live in peace, not only for the obvious mental and physical health factors, but for others also, so that they can see the greatness of the peace that we could have. So number one reason for wanting to have peace, and it's not maybe not the number one, and these aren't the only ones, it enables the ease of communication with God. The greatest cargoes in life come in over what? Quiet seas. If you're all rambling about and having scrambled eggs for a brain, guess what? It ain't going to work. It is not going to work. You're not going to be able to listen to that still what? Small voice. God's voice sometimes is a whisper. Why? Because he's not stressed. That's for darn sure. He's blessed, and that's how he wants you to be, is blessed. Go to Colossians 3, please. Do you know one of the number one prescribed medicines is for stress and anxiety? Look on TV. You don't have to go on long to see all the medicines that are involved in stress and anxiety, all the things that people do to try and eliminate it. Friday night, we went down to this place. It was a winery, and they had like this wine tasting thing, and they had some hors d'oeuvres and stuff. We went down there for this guy. And anyway, the long and the short of it, the point being, as Dolores and I were sitting there, and we're not really much wine drinkers or any kind of drinkers for that matter, but I was watching the people, and I was watching what they were doing. And at some point, Dolores said to me, can you go get me a soda? And I said, yeah. So I went up to the counter, and they don't have a cash register. All it is a computer terminals. And you know why? Because people are spending so much money on liquor, on the wines, that most people don't carry that much cash. Now, as I was sitting there, I was watching them ringing up guys, and they were ringing up 70, 80, 90, 100 and something, 200 and something dollars, you know. And what are they looking for in that bottle? Peace. That's all. You know, I just don't feel like hearing the noise. I just want to go home. I just want to have a glass of wine and relax. Why do you have to have a glass of wine to relax? I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't have some. What I'm saying is if that's what you're looking to for peace, you're not going to get it. And that's what those people were doing. And there was a lot of people in there getting hammered up. You know, that means drunk, if you don't know. Maybe you do, but I don't know. Anyway, the point being, they're in there getting hammered up. Why? Because they're looking for peace. They're looking for a little relaxation. They're looking to feel better. And I said to Dolores, you know what this reminds me of? My brother. Yeah. Insert alcohol, you get instant, boop, boop. You can, instant derriere there. How's that? I couldn't think of a word. That's what you get when you start inserting a bunch of alcohol. You get an instant derriere. Not you, but that person turns into one. That's what happens to them. Why? Because they drink so much. They start saying stupid things. Did you ever go to a wedding? Sure, I'm sure you did. And people are drinking. Now, I'm not against drinking, so don't go there. But the infestation of drinking, I guess, is what I'm against. So you go to a wedding, and people are drinking. And at first, when they're talking, they're doing okay. Everything's nice. We're all having a few beers or a few drinks or whatever. But then after a while, you'll notice the tone starts going up and up and up. People start talking louder and louder and louder and louder. And the next thing you know, everybody's yelling above everybody else. Why? Because they want to be heard. They need to be heard. The alcohol takes over and they just get stupid. Why? They're just looking for a little peace, a little relaxation. So let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also in Colossians 3:15, ye are called in one body, and be ye what? Thankful. That's right. Be thankful. That word rule is the word Brabuo. So last week when I was pronouncing these other guys' names from Ruth, I like really mashed them up. But this week I went on this little program I got, and you can peck on a word and it tells you how to say it. Brabuo. I'm like, right, I got it. Okay, I put the press at 15 times. Anyway, so what is that word, Brabuo? It means to be an umpire. It's where you look to for the right answer. It's situational guidance. That's what it is. And when you think about that, what does an umpire do? He runs situational guidance, right? Was that pass complete or was it incomplete? Was it a ball or was it a strike? You know, was the guy out of bounds or was he in bounds? Did the ball hit the rim and bounce back out, or did it go swish straight through? They're all sports analogies, you know, but that's what an umpire is. He's looked to, and it's important because sometimes it's not a matter of right and wrong, but a matter of right and right, better and best. Your thoughts, what job should I take? What car should I buy? What house? It's everyday life, and God is an everyday God interested in your everyday aspects of life. That's what you have to see. It's that important. It's that important. In the Old Testament, I thought this was interesting. So in the Old Testament, they had the Urim and the Thummim. And they were stones under the high priest's breastplate. So they take these stones and they put them in this little bag. And they put this little bag around their neck. And then they will put this breastplate on. And it was used by the Hebrew high priests. The stones were used to decide important matters, like should we go to war, should we not go to war, should we do this, should we do that, what should we do? The high priest would go to God and seek his guidance, and if the stones heated up, they knew what to do. They had peace knowing they were going to God. They could feel it. It was tangible to them. So it wasn't just a guessing game. And I find that rather interesting that people today do not want to know that they are going to heaven and all hell can't stop them for a certainty via speaking in tongues. Did you ever think about that? Do you know that's one of the first things that got me to go to fellowship? Somebody said to me, how would you like to know you were going to heaven and all hell can't stop you? All you got to do is speak in tongues. I'm like, whoa, okay, I'm in. And then there was the fear, was I going to be the only one that never spoke in tongues? And Dr. Earl said in Power for Abundant Living, no. You know, no, God never misses anybody. Think about that. We have God in Christ in us. We can have the same insurance. We can speak in tongues. When the peace of God is ruling in our hearts, you'll know and feel the peace of God. You'll know and feel it. It's a worry-free philosophy. That's where you want to be in life, in that worry-free philosophy. Number two, it's protection of our hearts and minds against Satan's attack of fear and anxiety. In Philippians chapter 4, please. You're going to see how the peace of God protects our hearts and our minds against Satan's attacks and fear of anxiety. There's no need to be anxious. There's no need to have fear. There's no need to have stress, grief, or aggravation. The closer you are to God, the more peace you'll have in your life. You have a full measure of peace, but it's how much you're going to be living in. That's what it's really about. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with giving of thanks, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And as you well know, careful is the word anxious. Yeah. So anxiety is not a condition. It is not a condition. It's a choice. That's why God can say, be careful for nothing. You choose to be anxious. If you're anxious, it's because you're allowing it in your life. What are you allowing the adversary to do to you in your life? Don't let it happen. Reach out to God. Let God know yo, I don't want to be like this. I'm not choosing to be like this. Whatever is causing it, get rid of it. Now, like I said, you don't turn your back on it, something that's trying to take away your peace. But you got to face it, you got to live with it, and you got to move on with it. And the way you do that is by giving it to God and not letting it build anxiety in your life. What is that? Let go and let what? God. Let go and let God. He's going to take care of it. Guard is the word proyuro, meaning to guard. And I thought this was pretty cool. To protect by a military guard. To prevent a hostile invasion. It's preventing a hostile invasion. That hostile invasion is the adversary trying to get to you. He's trying to take over. Don't let that happen. Peace is a total security system for your heart and your mind. So you got to guard your heart and protect your mind. You have to do it, man. Because if you don't, nobody else is. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what you got to do. Number three, and this is where reaching out comes in. It's a platform for our witness. Others will see it and others will want it. In Ephesians chapter 6, this is what I was saying a little bit earlier. You got to put on the whole armor of God, all of it, because it's a war out there. A hostile invasion just doesn't come in peace. Just a mere word, hostility. You know there's going to be a show on? Oh, man, what's that show I watch? That thing I watch? I can't think of the name. But anyway, one of these stations I watch, like the Discovery Channel or something, Why We Hate. You want to know why we hate? I was talking to the TV the other night. I said, yo, dude, you want to know why we hate? Because of the devil. That's why. Why you want to be hateful, man? Well, what is that? Why are you hating on me like that? Why? What's the point? There's no need. What were we just saying the other day? Could you see, a guy cuts you off the road. Could you see Jesus Christ flipping somebody off? Can you put that in your head? Can you see Jesus Christ in a car? Yo, my man with a beard, like some long hair, some robes, and some sandals. He's in his SUV. And some guy cuts him off. Can you see him go? No, I can't. I've been using that analogy a lot. Not of Jesus Christ, but could you see Jesus Christ doing that? No. No, you can't. It's almost impossible to fathom. You'd see him going like throwing a kiss or something, like giving him the peace sign, like, hey, good luck, buddy. Hope you get to where you're going. This morning, some guy was like driving 100 miles an hour. He started in this lane. He actually slowed down, whipped behind us, and then went into the middle lane and went, pew. And Dolores goes, well, I wonder if he's really in a hurry or if that's just the way he drives. It doesn't matter. He's heading for a crash either way. Well, Ephesians 6, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about you with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of what? Peace. Peace is mentioned a really lot, so it's got to be really important. We are at peace with God and have been reconciled to God. We are no longer at enmity with God. And that's one of the most important things in Ephesians chapter 2, maybe a page or two back. From chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, whom ye sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he, Jesus Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself one twain, one new man, so making peace. 15, verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached what? Peace. He came and preached peace unto you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. We were far off, lost without God and hope in the world, but now we're not. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Man, tell me what you think about Jesus Christ. Not this minute. Go home and think about it. Think about what you think about Jesus Christ. Tell me what you think about God. It's important. It's important that that's where our affection lies. You're never going to be more Christ-like. I challenged the other night at fellowship, read the Gospels. Read more of the Gospels. I'm not saying the epistles are wrong or the Old Testament's wrong or anything else. But if you want to be like somebody, doesn't it behoove you to read what they did, what they're like, what their life's about? Yeah. And who do we attempt to emulate? Jesus Christ. Because we have God in Christ in us. It's like the Joneses when it comes to peace. Everybody wants what they have. Everybody wants peace. And when they see someone that has it, they will want to know how they got it. This affords you the opportunity to share the greatness of God's word. That's what's going to afford you, the opportunity. And you know what? At the end of the day, isn't it that part of what's all it's about? The hope and the building of rewards, the building of the bank for your life that you've lived and the rewards that you will get when Jesus Christ comes back. This time on this planet is short, man. It's really short and it's really lightweight in comparison to eternity. So how can we cultivate peace in our lives? Number one, stay humble. We're almost done. But not with peace, praise God. So, number one, stay humble. 1 Peter verse 5. Everybody knows this verse, I'm sure. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God is bigger than any situation you can encounter. Remember Gideon? It was interesting. I was talking to Dolores about this last night. I was saying, you know, Gideon's like, was almost like a little Moses. You know, he's like, you know, I'm just a lowly guy. I'm just this, I'm just that. Moses was, you know, oh, I can't speak. I can't this, I can't that. God will enable you to do whatever it is he's called you to do. And trust me when I tell you he's called you to do something. You just need to get to stepping and doing what he's called you to do. And you know, you just have to have the courage and the peace in your heart that he's going to take care of you. Remember Joshua and the walls of Jericho? You think them people weren't thinking he was out of his mind? Yeah. But you know what? It happened. They blew their horns and the walls came down. They marched around, the walls came down. That's it. What walls are hiding problems that you have in your heart? Maybe it's time to blow your horn and see them walls come down so that you can get to doing what God has called you to do and be at peace knowing about it. Number two way of cultivating peace in your life is stay fervent in prayer. And you don't have to turn here, but in Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. And there's a little thing that Dolores has. I don't know if it's still there, but she wrote it on a sticky in what is inside a closet. And it says, I've said this before, to pray is to acknowledge that God is greater than you. To not pray is thinking you can do it yourself. And you can't do it yourself. We tried doing it ourselves for many, many years. You know what? It's just not happening. And number three, keep focused on the Father. You don't have to turn here either, but in Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. We need to trust in God that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Has he ever let you down? Has he ever failed you yet? I don't think so. He called me from death unto life, and he called you too. You need to believe it. You can only think one thought at a time. Make that thought the word of God. Live in the grace and true peace God has called you to. Stay humble, stay fervent in prayer, and keep focused on the Father. And in Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to close here. I close with this verse a really lot of times. And I call it our mission statement because it truly is. our life is just not about us. It's about others too. Verse 16 of Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why we do it. We do it for the glory of God, so that God gets the glory. He loves us, protects us, and watches over us all the days of our lives. And it's important to remember that and keep focused on that. Okay? So I'm going to pray. God, thanks for the greatness of this day, and thank you for the peace that you've given us. Thank you that you watch over us and protect us. Thank you for your hedge of protection around us and your hand of blessing upon us. And I rebuke the adversary in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that you're always there for us, that there's nothing you won't do for us. Thank you that the adversary is gone in the name of Jesus Christ, that he has no power over our lives. Only the thing that we let him do, that's what he gets away with. Thank you that we can be strong and have the courage to stand against the devil in the wiles of the devil in this evil day, and that we can be blessed and speak your word so that you truly will get the glory. Thank you, Father, for this and for all things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.